As you know, last week Bishop Pibronis was here for confirmation, and we're very blessed to be working with him. You know, he's my superior as a religious and also as a priest. Ostensibly, the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, in other words, the Marian priests, the Marian brothers and sisters, are the largest set of a conscious traditional organization in the world. Bishop Pibronis and the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen works with over 70 traditional Catholic priests throughout the world. And even though that sounds a very small number, and it is, that's why I'm saying we need to pray for vocations. But they're validly ordained, correctly trained priests. And we have a minor seminary and then a major seminary for religious and seculars. Also, the bishop works with over 150 religious from several religious communities. So there's Dominicans, Franciscans, Benedictines, Carmelites, etc. And then, of course, the Marian sisters, the CMD sisters. Anyway, there's a lot of religious. And then recently, Marian brothers, we had four novices, Brother John Marie, Brother Simon Marie, Brother Anthony Marie, and Brother Mary Jude. And then, as some of you are here for confirmation, and Julio Perez was visiting from the seminary. He's from the Los Angeles area, La Puente. And then he's in the seminary in Iowa. These are seminaries who are not religious. And just like Father Hirano, he has a calling. He's a Third Order Franciscan, but he wasn't called to be a member of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, but he works very well with us. And so we have 16 seminarians in Iowa, and then Julio will help us throughout Holy Week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, from the very beginning of Christianity, Holy Week has been devoted to a special commemoration of Christ's passion and death by the practice of meditation, prayer, fasting, and penance. After the great persecutions of the Roman emperors, namely Nero, Vespasian, Domitian, Trajan, Hadrian, Marcus Aurelius, Maximus, Decius, Valerian, Diocletian, Constantius, and Galerius, which lasted from 37 AD to the early 4th century, the Christian emperors of both the East and the West in the Roman Empire issued various positive decrees affecting activities during the time of Holy Week. These decrees forbade not only amusements and games during that time, but also regular work and trade, business, professions, and courts. The sacred days of Holy Week were to be spent free from worldly occupations and were to be devoted to religious exercises. Every year during Holy Week, an imperial edict granted pardon to a majority of those detained in prison. And in addition, many charges within the courts were withdrawn in honor of Christ's passion. Following this custom, kings and rulers in medieval days retired from all secular business during Holy Week in order to spend time in recollection and prayer. Farmers even set aside their plows, artisans their tools, schools and government offices were closed, and courts did not sit in session. In addition, popular feeling caused the banning not only of music, dancing, and secular singing, but also of hunting and any other kind of sport or amusement. It was truly a quiet and holy week, even in public life. All through the Middle Ages, the sacred triduum of Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, was a holy day of obligation. Catholics, freed from the obligation of servile work, were able to be present at the impressive ceremonies of these sacred days. However, due to the changed conditions of social life and the Thirty Years' War, Pope Urban VIII in 1642 rescinded this obligation. My dearly beloved in Christ, Holy Week is now upon us. We must put forth more effort in our daily struggle to practice good works, to pray, especially the rosary, meditate, to practice self-denial, and especially at this time to attend the liturgy of the Sacred Triduum of Holy Week. The devil will put many temptations in your way to thwart your good intentions. Surrounded by the false ideals of the world, blatant sin at every turn, especially because of technology and indecent fashions, the devil will put more obstacles in front of you, not only from without, but from within. You will feel at times too tired or too busy, or at other times wonder whether it's really worth the effort. Adversity shows true character as to whether one is a fighter or a quitter. We cannot be presumptuous and think we're a true follower of Christ without sincere and continuous effort, lest we fall. Since we're all sinners, we should take note of the story of St. Peter and Judas. My dearly beloved in Christ, with all sincerity, St. Peter swore to Jesus, "Lord, though all these should leave you, I will not leave. I will stay with you even to prison, yes, even to death." Our Lord looked at Peter and said, "Peter, by the time the cock crows tomorrow, you will have disowned me three times." Peter looked at the Master with wounded disbelief. Yet that very next morning, as we read today in St. Matthew's Gospel, the Passion, Peter thrice denied being a follower of Christ, and a third time finally swore with an oath that he did not even know Jesus Christ. At the very moment, Peter's eyes caught those of Jesus as he came down the steps of the palace, his face swollen from the blows of the soldiers and the mistreatment, his wrists tied behind his back. His silence and shock was shattered as a cock crowed. St. Peter let the grace of Christ enter his heart, and shaking with sobs and tears, he staggered through the dark streets, out the gate, and into the night. His love for our Lord and trust in his mercy was such that he wept bitter tears of repentance in such abundance that said to have made permanent furrows down his cheeks, which lasted through the remainder of his life. Even though his sin was very serious, Peter became a great saint and died a martyr's death by crucifixion. My dearly beloved in Christ, the response of Judas was very different from that of St. Peter. Even after being with Jesus for 3 years, seeing his infinite mercy and forgiveness, which was Christ's constant pattern, Judas failed to turn to our Lord. Judas, prompted more by remorse, not by love of Jesus, let his soul be blinded by pride and looked to the chief priest and their associates for help, but he was only met with rebuff and reproaches and rejection. Judas' pride and lack of trust in the mercy of God kept him from sincere repentance. Failing to pray or really repent, Judas became a victim of the devil, fell into despair, and hung himself. My dearly beloved in Christ, what is most consoling for us is the fact that if we're truly trying to overcome habitual sin and cooperate with God's grace, it's not falling in the sin that necessarily condemns us. It's how we react if we fall. Do we stay down as did Judas, or rise up, repent and amend as did St. Peter? Judas lacked humility and had no confidence in God. He did not ask God for forgiveness, but went to worldlings for consolation. Not finding any satisfaction from the world and failing to turn to God with sincere repentance, Judas condemned himself. This is why humility prayer, trust, and perseverance are so important to following in following Christ. St. Hilary says, the only secret for obtaining favors from God is to persevere in prayer. Although God has promised to grant us the favors we seek at His hands, provided they help us to attain eternal life, He has not promised to grant them immediately or even soon. To some, He grants what's asked at the outset, but others are kept praying and waiting for weeks and months and years together. All this happens through the hidden and unsearchable counsels of the providence of God, which we cannot fathom. If we find ourselves unstable in the observance of God's commandments, or slothful and lukewarm in following Christ, if we frequently fall into sin, whether mortal or venial, we may attribute the cause of our neglect of asking and beseeching God and of recommending ourselves to Him in prayer. Do not think that the fervent prayer of one person is not powerful. I'll end with the following true story. The wicked apostate and traitorous persecutor of the church, Emperor Julian, made proof to his cost of this great power of prayer. During the war with the Persians, he wanted to know how matters stood in the West, so as to shape his plans by intelligence received with the speed beyond the power of man. For this purpose, he sent one of the evil spirits with whom in his wickedness he had really close dealings, with pressing orders to use all haste and to watch and baffle any conspiracies which might be hatching against his imperial dignity. The spirit started on his errand with all expedition, but coming to a place where dwelt a holy monk, Publius by name, he found him stopped by the fervent and devout prayers of the hermit and was unable to proceed further. The demon remained in this place for 10 days together, which he wasted in unveiling efforts to surmount the obstacle placed in his way by the prayers of the holy monk. At length, having striven in vain, he returned in confusion to the apostate emperor, who inquired why he had tarried so long before bringing him the report which he had was so anxious to receive. Hearing that a ragged monk had baffled all his plans by prayer, Julius fell into a towering rage and vowed that he would be cruelly avenged. But the wretched man was unaware that upon himself the vengeance was to fall. And in this very campaign, he was struck by Saint Martial with an arrow and perished miserably. His last words were, "Galilean, thou hast conquered." One of the courtiers who was present at this interview, hearing thus from the demon himself the marvelous efficacy of prayer, distributed all his wealth and alms to the poor and went to the wilderness in search of Publius in order to spend his life in devout prayer. And under the training of this holy monk, he too became a great servant of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.